This is Earth on the Air, an environmental news radio program with Janice Kane. In this week's environmental news headlines, the 12 countries of the European Community agreed last week in Brussels to ban the production of chlorofluorocarbons by the end of the century. These nations produce about 35% of the total CFCs in the world, with the United States contributing another 30 to 35%. President Bush said he supported the proposal if safe substitutes can be found. China and India decided not to join the ban. India said that industrialized nations must first establish a fund to make substitute chemicals easily affordable to the third world. United States Interior Secretary Manuel Lujan refused to delay oil exploration lease sales off the coasts of Washington and Oregon. In a letter to Secretary Lujan, Governor Gardner and Oregon Governor Goldschmidt noted that the Interior Department regards Washington and Oregon as more environmentally sensitive than any of the lower 48 states. Yet last month, President Bush canceled similar lease sales off of the coasts of California and Florida. In Washington, D.C., Representative Peter DeFazio of Oregon introduced a bill that would allow states to ban log exports from state land, although DeFazio is confident that passage would occur if a vote were held today. Timber exporters such as Weyerhaeuser have at least 4 months to campaign against the bill before it comes up for a vote. And in Hawaii, 117,000 gallons of oil spilled from a wrecked tanker, causing polluted water signs to appear on popular resort beaches. Once considered useless, marshes, swamps, bogs, and similar landscapes, collectively known as wetlands, are now valued for performing critical functions and providing essential ecosystems. They filter pollutants from groundwater, they prevent flooding and provide food, nesting and resting sites, and permanent habitat for thousands of species of plants and animals. They are also used extensively for recreation and education. As the world's population grows and development becomes more significant, wetland acreage shrinks. In the United States, for example, wetland acreage has been cut nearly in half since 1800. In the Duwamish River Delta, the current site of the Port of Seattle, 99% of the original wetland acreage has been filled. Instead of splashing into wetlands and slowly seeping into the ground, more and more rain falling on urban areas falls on concrete, where it picks up petroleum and other pollutants. Then it races down storm drains, contributes to erosion, and pollutes waterways and other water bodies that flow into the Sound. Salmon run loss and other serious problems have been linked to the increased stream bank erosion and decreasing water quality. As our area becomes increasingly urbanized, many planners fear that the current alarming rate of wetland loss will remain unchecked. As part of the solution, the Puget Sound Water Quality Authority has designated the Department of Ecology and the Department of Natural Resources to carry out a wetland preservation program. The program aims to preserve the most important wetlands in the Puget Sound Basin. Terry Granger with the Wetlands Section of Ecology Shorelands and the Coastal Zone Management Program is working on a nomination process that involves heavy volunteer support.
In the program, wetlands in the Puget Sound Basin are nominated for our program by local communities, groups, and individuals such as governments, environmental groups, and interested individuals. There is no inventory, complete inventory of wetlands in the Puget Sound Basin, let alone one that indicated which of those were the most important. So we, because of different factors, called upon the local communities to have them tell us what they thought were the most important wetlands in their area. And we also have relied upon them to provide us with information with which we can assess the wetlands to determine which ones of those that are nominated are most important. So we put together a wetland nomination questionnaire, which by answering it gives us information about all the values and functions and different features and characteristics of the wetland. So there are a lot of community groups that went out and collected maps, collected field information, and other kinds of supporting documents And sent that back to us, and that constituted the nomination process, and that's how they were able to nominate a wetland for the program. We've recently closed our public nomination process, and we are now evaluating the questionnaires that we have received, the nomination questionnaires, and we'll be, over the course of the next year, verifying the information that people that are participating in our program have given to us about their nominated wetlands. The wetlands that are nominated will be evaluated using criteria that we've developed with a technical team of different state agency representatives for their wetland values and functions and features. And then they will be also assessed for their viability for the maintaining and providing those specific values and functions for the long term. We're looking for wetlands that provide resident and migratory species support, species of special concern, native plant communities, diversity, floodwater detention, sediment and erosion control, nutrient pollutant entrapment and assimilation, groundwater and surface water exchange, recreation, open space aesthetics, education and research. Wetlands that fulfill our criteria for the most important in the Puget Sound Basin will be placed on a preservation list. And once they're listed, Department of Natural Resources, who we administer this program jointly with, will pursue preserving these sites using acquisition or other preservation mechanisms as availability and money allows.
Although the public nomination period is over, Terry says that the program will still offer opportunities for public involvement and that there are other ways besides the program to get involved in preserving wetlands.
We will be asking those people, groups that have provided us with a questionnaire, a nomination questionnaire, we'll be asking them to give us some additional information, perhaps some seasonal information that wasn't available to them during the fall and the winter season. So we'll be, again, calling upon them to help us get information in order to assess the wetlands. And we at Department of Ecology have some information about wetland preservation in the form of a guidebook that they can write to us and get a copy of. They could also get involved with or start a local land trust, which is one of the primary ways of acquiring and preserving land on a local level. People can also voice their concerns about wetland preservation to local decision makers, planning departments who are involved in wetland protection. And as important, tell other people about the value and the importance of wetlands and preserving them.
To get information on wetlands and wetland preservation, call the Department of Ecology at 459-6835. Or contact any private environmental organization. In future programs, we will discuss economic problems behind wetland preservation and touch on ways that organizations are trying to overcome them. Here are a few environmental lectures and/or events you might like to attend. Of Wolves and Humans, the exhibit at the Pacific Science Center is now in progress through June. Friday, March 24th, Brian Tokar, author of The Green Alternative, will speak on green politics in the U.S. Please call the Institute for Environmental Studies. That's on campus here at the University of Washington for more information. I'll have that number for you in 30 seconds. Coming up April 11th, an all-day seminar entitled Risk and the Environment, Policy Lessons for Washington State and the Nation. If you are interested in attending, call the Institute for Environmental Studies at the University of Washington. And don't forget April 20th and 21st. There will be a two-day celebration for Earth Day here at the University of Washington. If you are interested, call this number. It's for the Institute of Environmental Studies, 545-2054. Today's presentation was written by Tom Baer and Charlotte Schubert and produced by Jean-Paul Bardou.
Earth on the Air is produced by volunteers who are concerned about the environment. If you have questions, suggestions, concerns, or would like to volunteer, please send a self-addressed stamped envelope to Earth on the Air in care of KCMU, Seattle, Washington, 98195.